26 and a half minutes after the hour. It's a Tuesday, a transcendent Tuesday, and that means a highly anticipated conversation with Dr. Don Clark. Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments. He's a biochemist, years of experience in pharmaceutical, and now he raises grapes, wines, and he's a vintner. Are you a vigneron? Is that the right word for you?
A vigneron and a vintner.
And both.
So the vigneron is the grape tender.
Mm-hmm.
And the vintner is the winemaker.
The wine designer. Okay.
Yes.
Vela della Pace is the wine name.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to an onophile.
Now, what's that?
That's an entirely different. Onophile is just a person who studies wine.
Okay. Alrighty. All right. An
onophile is a guy who doesn't get his hands dirty, and that would be me.
Yeah. See, Don, we've already been here for.
Yeah, he's afraid of work. I'm telling you, he's afraid of work.
I'm not afraid of it. I can watch it all day long. I watched people work yesterday. It wore me out.
See, Don's been with us for less than a minute. We've already expanded our vocabulary by three words this morning. Yeah, Don's winery is Vela della Pace, and it's based. I mean, it stays right there in Garden Valley, Texas.
It doesn't move.
Yeah. Texas, just a hoot and a holler east of Dallas. So
there's an interesting idea, Don. Maybe you could invent a winery that travels.
Yes, there you go.
The
winery can travel. Now, you know, can the vineyard travel?
Yeah, just there you go.
The vineyard, to a better climate.
Yeah, the winery traveling is not a tough deal to accomplish, but moving the grapes in the ground, that might be tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. We've got a tough subject ahead of us here, and it has to do with science, and Don being of the scientific bent. He was bent by science at one time. Have we created a monster? Is this Darwin's fault? I mean, this is an article from the Cornwall Alliance, and it's entitled "The Rise of Totalitarian Science," and right away it jumps into social Darwinism, talks about the late 19th century when the biological principles written down and enunciated by Charles Darwin were applied to things like politics and government and things that weren't necessarily biology, and it created something called social Darwinism. If you look that up, and I did on Wikipedia, that was pretty well dispelled after World War I and certainly after World War II with Nazism and superior races and all that kind of issued from that basic impulse to create social Darwinism, which is like a total fabrication of science. Where did science go bad, Don?
Well, where did science go off? Well, they strayed from the original principles laid down with the scientific method, for example. You know, you come up, you have an hypothesis, then you test the hypothesis and see if your guess, so you have a guess, and then you test your guess, and if your guess is right, or if it's the null hypothesis, you're trying to prove a negative, then you say, okay, well, you know, this tells me something about the system that I'm studying. And so maybe the equations that you've derived come up with to describe certain conditions then would either pan out or they wouldn't. And so that, you know, for decades after the Dark Ages was science, and science developed.
Did you call that pure science as differentiated from applied science? I mean, in the beginning, was it all pure science?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, science was science, and
for the sake of discovery, to see how God made things to work the way they do. I mean,
not always. Mm-hmm. Not always. There was fake science in the olden days, too.
Alchemy, talking about things like that.
Well, the one that comes to mind is the Piltdown Man. You know, the guy that put together extra bodies from from a variety of cavers and said, and then put it, buried it in the ground, and then later on went back and dug it up.
That was a hoax that fooled scientists, though.
Yes, that was a hoax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there have been many hoaxes like that, but that's historical science. So you're trying to go back, which, you know, is a little difficult. It's not like you're in your laboratory doing an experiment, and you know, you think this is going to happen, and something else happens, and then that expands your knowledge base. But yeah, historical science is completely different, let's say, than you know, traditional science. And the great scientists, Kepler, great scientists of the time were all Christian, all believed in God, all had the notion that the world is ordered, and therefore I can study it and maybe learn something about it and learn about the greatness of God through how he created things. That has, unfortunately, for the most part, except for some Christian scientists working out in the field there, has gone by the wayside. And so now we're left with the idea, ultimately, that science can solve all of our problems. And or science or engineering or, you know, computer science or whatever, you know, can artificial intelligence can solve all of our problems we have in the world. And therefore, we become little gods, which is the ultimate goal of all of this, is that, you know, we back in the garden in the fall, and the serpent tempted Eve with the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by saying, you know, the reason why God doesn't want you to eat this fruit is because you're going to become like him. And he doesn't want you to become like him. So Eve, seeing that the fruit was looked pretty good, it was good to the eye, and probably was tasty, and it was going to make her wise, so she partook of it, and of course Adam followed her lead there. And so we still have that desire as man to become little gods, unless we're restrained by, you know, God's principles and God's laws.
Well, not only
laws.
That, this was like the first scientific experiment. It looked good. It tasted good. It must be good. What followed was not good.
I'm going to test to see whether I'm going to become wise, and more importantly, whether I'm going to become like God in knowing all things. So it's the desire for knowledge, not for knowledge's sake, or not for the good of the rest of humanity, but for the good of myself. And it's that selfish desire then that gets us into trouble. So this article then is all about selfish desires. And so we have to determine whose selfish desire was involved.
Who are the bad guys
pandemic
here?
Yeah. And who were the bad guys, and what did they use in order to manipulate society, for example? And the first point in this article, the dangerous expansion of government's power in the name of science, kind of kicked things off, because we had this danger. It was called COVID-19, and of course the government, the media, everybody was touting, oh, this is a horrible thing, and you got to protect yourself against this virus that is coming. It's coming, you know.
Well, they kept citing something called scientific consensus. What is scientific consensus? Does it exist?
Oh, well, that really doesn't exist, because true science is not, you know, you have certain scientists that might agree with one another, but true science is, you know, you have an hypothesis, you do the experiment works out, and then somebody across the world does the same experiment, and that experiment worked out, or maybe he tweaks it a little bit to see if your hypothesis is correct. And if enough scientists around the world have determined that, yeah, it looks like your guess must be right, and then it gets elevated ultimately to a theory, and ultimately, like the law of gravity, for example, it becomes a law.
But what if the scientists that tested, and this is supposed to be encouraged in science, you know, peer review and other people testing to see if your findings are accurate, if there are enough people that say, no, they were not accurate, but they don't have a voice, you get this notion of well, all science agrees with this when that is not the case. So that's not so much a scientific function as a political function.
It's a political function, and their voice has been suppressed for a ultimate goal. And with the case of COVID, of course, we knew that what the ultimate goal was. The goal was to shut down society. And so we had, for example, remember when COVID first came out, and government said, look, we've got to shut down for 2 weeks because we've got to flatten the curve. The science says if we don't have contact with each other for 2 weeks, then that's going to flatten the curve, and all of this is going to go away a lot faster. But we have to shut down for 2 weeks. So everyone kind of agreed that, okay, well, you know, 2 weeks is not that bad. We could probably, curtail our activities for 2 weeks. And and then the 2 weeks turned into months, and then it turned into, much longer time. And the government had achieved what they wanted, which was, can we control the people by using not legislative powers? Remember, our country was founded on we the people. And we, the people, then elect representatives that represent us in government, in our own government. And it's the legislatures who have the power to say yay or nay on things. But this was all circumvented by the executive branch, whether it be governors or, the president of the United States. It was circumvented by the executive branch that just wrote emergency orders. And those emergency orders then said, oh, well, you got to social distance, you got to social distance, 6 feet at least, you got to wear masks, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you got to get vaccinated, we want everybody to get vaccinated. And so that even propagated through the medical community, and the CDC, for example, and the FDA were pushing guidelines, more than guidelines, because the government attached money to the guidelines. To the hospitals, it says, if you get a COVID patient, here's the protocol for treating them. And if you treat them with this protocol, then we will give you X number of dollars. And if the person dies, we will give you X number of dollars more. And so the protocol, was you could only treat them with the so-called antiviral remdesivir. And remdesivir had this terrible side effect of causing liver failure, and people died from one of the side effects of liver failure is that you get a condition that looks like pneumonia, and so it was looking like COVID was causing this buildup of fluid in the lungs. And all that was happening was that the liver was shutting down because of the drug remdesivir. And so anybody who had any alternatives as to, wait a minute, this is not helping people the way we thought it was going to help people. But, there's some drugs that have been on the market for 50 years, and it looks like it has some efficacy against this virus. And if people take this drug early, or these drugs, it's both, I'm talking about obviously ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and, take it with zinc and do these. Here's, we've found that if you follow this protocol, people survive and they don't even have to go to the hospital. But if they go to the hospital, they'll have a very mild condition compared to people who, you know, were going to the hospital and being put on ventilators, and then most of those people died. So in that voice was completely silenced. That brings us into the censorship area, because if you're trying to push an agenda and if you're trying to change society move people away from a people's government to a totalitarian, king's type of government, then what better way than to use science as an excuse for doing it? And what better way than to have executive emergency powers as opposed to going through the legislature? Because, you know, legislature, if you go through the legislature, that takes an awful long time. You know, people don't agree and they have different opinions.
There's also the chance you could lose.
You're going to lose, because you're now opened up the discussion. And, you know, people can come in with new information that says, you know, this particular protocol just doesn't seem to be working. And I've got my experts and you have your experts. Let the experts, you know, discuss this. But all of that had to be shut down. And so it was.
So we've discovered that the threat of poor health in the form of pandemics or maybe other causes is more effective at controlling people than politics.
It gives you an excuse, yeah. And it's the danger, as we found, as we've discovered, and the states really should implement controls on emergency powers. The legislatures should go back and say, hey, you know, this was dangerous.
Well, the chickens are coming home to roost now. We're seeing the ill effects that you have described, partially the results of vaccination and boosters and the lack of success on the part of masks and social distancing and all this. It's like the emperor has no clothes. We've seen that now.
We've seen it, and there were people who were blowing the whistle on it real early in the game, and they were being silenced. They were being silenced, by their peers. They were being silenced by the government, and more importantly, they were being silenced by the media and social media. And it was almost as if the government was manipulating the media and the social media. Either they were doing it on their own, which we know now that the FDA manipulated, the FBI manipulated, obviously, Twitter and probably the other social media companies, although we don't have that information, regarding the Hunter Biden laptop. And so, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a nuclear physicist to figure out that, well, you know, maybe government encouraged the social media companies to censor anybody that had a dissenting opinion as to what the best treatment of the COVID was going to be. And so these people got labeled as anti-science, even though they had a sterling reputation, and they were censored. And then you had this term misinformation, cropped up. And the misinformation and disinformation, you know, you have this idea that, well, that's misinformation, and we certainly don't want false information to be out there, so we have to suppress false information. But after all, people could die if the information is incorrect. And people did, because the information that was given out was incorrect. The politically correct information was incorrect, and people died as a result of it. However, they were suppressing other people. And so you have this problem, as, okay, who's going to judge misinformation? Who's going to judge this disinformation? Who's going to be the judge of this? It's almost as if, you know, I don't know if you remember, you probably do, but we had this thing as hate crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to prosecute people based on a hate crime, and a hate crime is going to get a higher punishment than a normal crime.
I mean, that still happens.
Yes, and it still happens. And who is to judge what a hate crime is? You know, is the judicial system going to judge someone's intentions? Is the judicial system going to judge what is in someone's heart? I mean, this is ludicrous. I mean, either something is a crime or it's not a crime. And then, you know, of course, we have this term social justice. Is there a difference between justice and social justice?
You know, this gets us back to our discussion yesterday, David, but the difference between the words equality and equity. Don's talking about the dangers of legally enforced equity. In other words, mm-hmm. the spirit of the law and judging intentions. As opposed to just the facts of was it a violation of law or wasn't it? Well, it depends. What was the guy thinking? Did he have a good heart? Did he mean well? You know, the government can't make those decisions. They can't make those determinations.
No.
And yet they insist on it.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. And so they used that, for example, to their advantage when we had, of course, the Hillary Clinton emails and the email server, and you know, that was hacked, and you know, all of this other stuff. But she had good intentions. She didn't know. So we let her go. But someone, you know, like Trump, for example, his intentions are bad, so we have to go after him. And you totally disregard the evidence. You know, who's trying to do what? I mean, Hillary, you know, smashed up the computer hard drives. So they were destroying the evidence so she wouldn't get prosecuted.
And there's another movement afoot here that we should make mention of. And it seems like the people who have made a god of science are interested in more and more power. That gets them around politics, especially in this country. If there really is an agreement between our government and the World Health Organization and the World Health Assembly, that they get to determine what a pandemic is and what proper treatment is and what proper remedy should be applied during science, and we're made to kneel to that, that is, obey their dictums. That makes science, even false science, something in the name of science, the real power, and the power of the people is dissolute at that point.
Well, I think you know, science in this case is just being used as a tool. I don't think the scientist, you know, necessarily. I mean, there are some bad scientists out there. There are bad people everywhere in the society, let's face it. But, you know, a person who is truly interested in discovering what is true as opposed to what is not, you know, they're going to come, and if you show them, hey, you know, I've got this data over here that disproves your theory, if they're honest with themselves and don't have a big head or extremely puffed up and prideful, then ultimately they would say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Let me go back and adjust some things and see, you know, if I agree with you. And so you've got the open discussion. The problem has been the First Amendment has been eradicated in this whole process. And so you don't have the free discussion going back and forth. And science was just a convenient tool for these folks who really wanted to push their agenda. And they used, I mean, Fauci, you know, said it over and over and over again, you know, trust the science. This is what the science shows. Of course, he was lying through his teeth. We know that now. And
well, he said, I am the science.
Yeah, he is the science, and he was, you know, you can, you can kind of tell when somebody is really lying is to the degree of pride that they have. And that man is, he's puffed up, way above his height, that's for sure. And so he kept out. And we now know, of course, we knew it back then. If you read alternative literature, you knew that the true investigative journalist found out the truth early, that Fauci called his buddies, his scientific buddies, to write a it wasn't even a paper, it was an opinion about the origins of the COVID-19. And at the Scripps Institute. So he convinced these folks, because after all, he's giving them money, and the money would dry up if they disagree with him. And so they wrote this white paper or this opinion and said, "Nah, we don't think that it comes from, the Wuhan lab. We don't think this was genetically engineered or, there wasn't any DNA manipulation. It was all natural." And so Fauci then uses that to defend his case. I mean, this man is, in my opinion, very evil. And he is the one responsible for it. I mean, he's not the only one, but he was in the position of influence. So he influenced the president's opinion, and he influenced policy here in America for his agenda. And he was the one who actually implemented the gain of function research first in this country, which then moved to the Wuhan lab, which our government helped pay to build this lab. And then, therefore, Fauci could continue his gain of function research in an isolated country, well, not so isolated because it's China. And, China doesn't care about, they just want, of course, biological research and biological warfare is just another form of warfare that we can use against our enemies. And so, Fauci's in the thick of all of this. And then he's denying that it didn't come from the Wuhan lab, much less it wasn't genetically engineered, which was a bold-faced lie. And
have you found Mr. Big yet? Do you know who Mr. Big was? Who the guy who orchestrated this entire thing? I don't know that it was Fauci. I think Fauci is just one of the little people.
Oh, because
the money goes back. The money has been in the defense of the Secretary of Defense's budget since 2008.
So you think that somebody in our Defense Department wanted some research, that we actually wanted the gain of function research to use this as a biological weapon? Possibly. I don't know.
There was a loophole placed into the Secretary of Defense budget in 2008 when Bob Gates was the Secretary. And it was after Rumsfeld left. Now I'm looking for Mr. Big. I'm trying to figure out, and I don't think Fauci is it. I think Fauci is just another useful idiot that stumbled along and said, I'll do whatever you say. I'll try to cover it up as best I can.
Well, the feeling persists that there's somebody else pulling strings somewhere, and we can't put a finger on them. Although maybe we have and don't know it. I mean, but if we could distill this whole argument down to one thing that right-thinking people could do to help combat this idea of totalitarian science, I think it would be to insist on the message that there is no consensus in science, that you have to have open ears and open eyes and consider the big picture before you make decisions that operate within society, like the ones they've just made under emergency or pandemic circumstances. Question the science. And if we all do that, if we take a jaundiced eye towards something, anything called disinformation, well, maybe it is, but I'll decide that. Show it to me.
Well, right, and actually search out what the real data are showing. And even in the COVID case, for example, you know, what we know, for example, that the vaccines that were being pushed have had many more, I mean, multiple times more adverse events of any vaccine ever developed and ever allowed to stay on the market of all of the vaccines, you know, in the previous history. They've had more adverse events and more deaths associated with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, you get the information. And when somebody says, oh, we needed to do this, you know, come back and say, well, you know, here's an interesting article that shows that that was a false policy, that policy actually led to dangerous outcomes. And here are the outcomes. And maybe people can engage in a dialogue as opposed to being polarized, allowing the government to polarize us. Hmm. That's basically what has happened.
Well, I'm sensing that there is a kind of reverse wave happening here. People are starting to wake up and make some noise. And we can hope that continues, I think, that this notion of scientific consensus and disinformation and suppressing information and keeping it for me, let me decide. It's power to the people. Let them hear it. Let them decide. I don't know. It's not simple. Don, thank you for the information. This is a good article. I'll put a link to the Cornwall Alliance article on totalitarian science in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com in just a few minutes here. In the meantime, you might consider a visit to creationmoments.com. There you will find scientific information in support of the biblical story of creation. It's quite a website, creationmoments.com. You can link there from our podcast pages. And by the way, if you go up to podcasts on brokenroadradio.com, click on Dr. Don's name, you'll see almost 10 years worth of weekly discussions on scientific matters and historical matters, like, for example, the book of Genesis. So we recommend that. Don, thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
All right, very good. You folks have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too, Don.
So long.